former introductions. If you would like us to announce your presence, fill it out. If you would like to remain anonymous, raise your hand. You do not need, yeah, and make sure you smile for the camera. But we will read those. And I was actually thinking about this morning, how we even got into this, and I know it's been explained at least once, so pardon me for retreading this tire. But originally, there was so much audience interaction as we were working on developing this board and the RFPs as we were generating the portal, that it just made it easier to facilitate communication between the board and members and the board and participants, et cetera. And I think it just kind of created its own tradition. And with that, we still have a lot of uninvited audience participation, John. And it does help us to be able to know who's in the audience and try to recognize folks as we go along. So with that, sign it if you would like, and we will announce that you are here. And if anybody has any questions related to your specific representation, then we'll all know you're here and who you are. With that, we will have the roll called.
Here.
Whoa. What a nice reaction, Jack. Wow. Whoa, Jack's here.
Whoa, Jack.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ooh.
Bill, did you install that for like a
day? Well, the good news is our attorney is present,
yeah.
and he witnessed it.
Give you my card.
All right, I found the one hole of
really?
The floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Nice shade of red.
Ooh, Evan Trier.
Here.
Bob Feingold.
Excuse.
Kent Glassman.
Here.
Bill Hobbs.
Here.
Lexi Huber.
Here.
Greg Jennings.
Excused.
Michael Okritis.
Here.
Gerald Maroney.
Excused.
Don Maris.
Here.
Senator May.
Here.
Rico Munn.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman.
Here. Okay, I'm going to unexcuse you since you're here. All right, the first order of business until the voluntary sign-up sheet comes forward is approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Everybody have a chance to review them? They were, and anybody not get the email? Okay, Senator May.
I move approval.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved unanimously. And with that, let me share here. The caveat is if it's legible. From CI, we have Mark Church, Jill Janicki, excuse me, Aaron Boyd, John Thomas. From Optimal Performance and Strategy, Ben Nivert. Scott, also with CI. Scott, what's your last name?
Yeah.
We won't be introducing you next time. Department of Revenue, Becky Davis, and
Brett.
Oh, thanks. Wow.
You didn't say it.
You do a lot of, yeah, yeah. Brett Mueller. I recognize you, but I just don't know who you are.
That's
not Yeah, right. Maybe we'll pass out some sort of a word processor next time. From SysTes, you know who you are. Robert Mitchell, Dan Wagner, and Tim Walker from another CI. Why don't you guys group this next time? Tammy Strickland, Lorette? And from North Highland is Jill Weisbrot. Close enough? All right. Sorry about that. I think that pretty much ends that new tradition. until the next meeting. Business committee reports. Executive Director, Greg Rippey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I do believe Bob Feingold is listening in on the internet from Florida, and so he gives his apologies. He's down visiting grandchildren. So, hi, Bob.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's in his car on Broadway.
No, he really is in he really is in Florida because we had him on a conference call earlier today. Would like to bring you up to date on the status of the business portal meetings. And first of all, even though you recognized her on the sign-ups, or is Jill Weisbrot of North Highland, who is the project lead for North Highland on the business portal project. In the last month, we signed the statement of work in the LOU for North Highland, and we launched right into it. We have a schedule that hopefully will give you a recommendation on the feasibility of a one-stop business portal. Potentially by the 1st of November board meeting, but certainly by the December board meeting. And the first stage of it was the level set, looking at the vision, looking at the communication plan, and having one-on-one meetings with five core agencies as well as the IRS. We have currently undertaken and completed meetings with DORA, Secretary of State, Department of Revenue. This afternoon I'll be meeting with Mr. Don Maris. Sorry, Don, you just choked me up. And then tomorrow with the Office of Economic Development. And the meetings have been very encouraging to date. One of the things that we are communicating very clearly, but and needs to be communicated clearly, is that even as we look at feasibility of this project, it's not about changing business processes or any back-end systems for the agencies. It's about integrating what they have and giving them a lever point to be able to look across agencies, remove some frustration for citizens as they start looking at creation of a new business. So thank you for those directors that we've met with already, and look forward to the next couple too. We'll probably have about a one-week hiatus in the schedule here. Dan Morrison is not with us today. He is on his way to Belize this morning on a long scheduled long ago vacation. And so at this point, I'd also like to just introduce, I'd like to make a couple more comments, and they do relate to the business portal. John Thomas, who has been with the CI team and the SIPA team from the very beginning, is going to be moving on to Arizona. Arizona has entered into a contract with NIC USA to take over their portal activities. I think it speaks highly of NIC, our partner in this, that State of Arizona had a renewal of their portal contract, chose NIC to do it. John has just been one of the shining stars coming into a brand new startup portal. He came from Oklahoma, he came here, and he's been here from the very beginning. Dan really asked that we give John our thanks. He is very sad that he can't be here today to really give his thanks to John and make it known public how much he appreciated John's work and what he's done for the first 2 years in Colorado's portal to... Hi, Mr. Jennick.
My apologies to the board.
And we are indeed fortunate that with John's departure, Aaron Boyd, who will be giving you the manager's update today, has been promoted to John's previous position, and so we have some nice continuity within the organization there. And as we get into the general manager's report, you may have noticed that there were two new CI names on there. There's an org chart in there, and Aaron will talk a little bit about it. But CI is really going forward in staffing up so we can be delivering applications and services out. But I digress a little bit from the business portal discussion. That's where we are in the status of the business portal, and I would entertain questions on the portal.
Let me share one thing, and then I'm going to recognize Senator May. And I think this is mostly just to prove to Bob Feingold that I do read his emails, because he sent me one on this issue that I wanted to share since we're on the topic and he's listening. And this is just from his email this morning or last night. For the Business Express, I want to be assured that North Highland gets inputs from the citizens and organizations that represent various business interests so that we know that Business Express has a market and that there will be a draw to the business portal if we go ahead and build it. I've discussed this with Greg Rippey, and he has assured me that North Highland will be investigating this. But you know me, I won't let go of that bone until I've gnawed on it for a while. So now that we're down to the marrow, Bob, I hope you feel assured that your interests are represented. Senator May.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg, last time in the meeting I mentioned the issue of citizens changing their name, mm-hmm. or their address or getting married or whatever. Could that be part of Highland's look at this business thing? We were told last week that was a very similar thing to be done as it would be done for the citizens. I'd like to see if there's a solution on how we could approach that.
Please, Greg Rippey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, I share your desire on that issue. On the feasibility of the business portal, I don't think that it fits under the scope of what we're looking at this. You know, the universe of new business creation is much smaller than all citizens that may be doing a change of address. And I think we really do start talking about changing some back-end systems within agencies. And Michael, please jump in at any time here, that I think that is really an enterprise application that we would be sharing some data. My take on it, Senator, is the first question that you've got to ask and answer on that is, where is that centralized database going to be housed? That is not role and function of CI nor the authority. It is a state agency function, but there is no such database centralized for those sorts of things, and then to share back and forth between agencies. Short answer to your question is, my belief is it doesn't fit under the scope of the feasibility of a one-stop business portal.
Continue, Senator May.
Well, I got the impression after the discussion last time that the problem was a similar problem to that. So why can't some of the same techniques be used? And I don't know necessarily that having a database is the way to do it. Maybe there's another way to do that. I don't know how they're going to do it within the business portal.
Well,
it seems to me, I mean, they told us last week it was, or last time it was similar, a similar problem.
And here's where I believe it diverges. As someone comes in and they're desirous of starting a new business, and one of the first questions is, what is your legal entity? It may be an LLC, it may be a single proprietorship. And as you log on, it will create your profile with all your pertinent information. Now, that can be shared back as it redirects through this wizard to other agencies. But that is driven by a login authentication. There may be other authorization issues depending on which agency you go to. If you go to DORA and you're trying to get into the realtor licensing part, they may have authorization issues, but that pushes down to them after it comes through here. All we will keep in the database is the profile so that when someone logs in, they don't have to start over, and we just continue to keep that profile going. I don't know that it's that different in the particulars of it, but certainly in scope, it's much different than what we're talking about in a business portal. And I do believe that maybe we can, if we go forward with the one-stop business portal, we can build upon it to see what we have created and how that might be shared back through OIT and how they're approaching some of these.
Exactly. And I think
Mike Lucas.
OIT could business one-stop. We're doing a whole line of assessment.
And Senator, if I can continue, meeting with Director Munn's office 2 days ago, you know, one of their desires and issues is consumer protection and how can we start using some of this as consumer protection. Those are all wonderful goals, and it's probably the next phase. But one of the things we're finding as we go through these meetings with EDs is some of their wish list and some of their wouldn't it be neat if we could do this too? And we are cataloging and tracking those, and we will acknowledge them, and maybe some opportunities and challenges on the different types of issues that come up.
So, Mike, you've got this on your.
It's on our
head.
It's yes.
Citizens Make a Change in Roxy's area, and they think it goes everywhere in the state.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I actually had a conversation with the governor a couple of days ago about the clustering opportunity between DORA and the Department of Revenue and CDLE in terms of constituent services. Now, it isn't something we're looking at this moment because, as you know, we've got other pressing sort of foundational issues across the state, but it's definitely on our radar screen to explore that. And fairly soon, like, you know, start looking at that in the next few months or so.
Was this, excuse me.
Tournament, continue.
Was this something that NASIO and the other states are addressing also?
Mike Lukaitis.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They are, yes. They have an entire enterprise initiative looking at this. And they've got a lot of documentation on their website, too, on their progress and some of the best practice in this area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Greg Rippey.
That's all I have on Business Portal. I would like to give the opportunity, if Jill would like to add anything in here. She probably didn't know that I was going to call on her, although she was more than willing to make a presentation today.
No, I don't have anything. Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have before you the P&L and balance statement through June. Kathy, if you'll take a note here on balance sheet, would you make a note that Senator May has requested that previous month be also on that balance sheet so we can do it? If you'll bear with me one moment, Mr. Chairman, I would like to talk about year end. We are going forward with the audit with Clifton Gunderson. If you track these very closely and you'll look at it, you'll see some different numbers here. It's because we just changed, following passage of the bill, from a calendar year to a July to June fiscal year. I'd like to give you some quick numbers on what year ending June 30 unaudited are. And you can tell we don't have a lot of line items here, so it'll go pretty quickly. We had a budgeted amount of $520,000 for income. Actual income was $627,000. Employee costs were budgeted $345,000. Actual was $172,000. Functions was very close to budgeted. It was $2,000 as opposed to a budget of $1,200. Occupancy was budgeted at $64,860. Actual was $58,000. Professional fees was budgeted $74,400. Total professional fees was $87,000. Total expenses were $320,000 as opposed to a budget of $485,000. Net income being $307,000 as opposed to a budgeted $34,000. Now, those numbers all changed since we just went from a July to June from what you had been seeing as income year to date. I have a proposed new budget for 07-08 that I would like to present to the board at the next meeting. Currently, the proposed budget shows a net income of $150,000. And this budget is built basically off of last year's actual cost. And this is the first time we've had a 12-month ability to be able to do that. There are a couple items that have been significantly increased over the previous year, such as professional fees, $186,000 when last year we basically, the line item will show you $87,000, but $20,000 of that was back to CI that we had to incur for additional fees going into the CMS project. And so really it was 67. We're looking at an increase of an additional $100,000 in that line item for the next year. The reason for that is the increased activity that we're having in testing for applications that SysTest is doing, as well as the feasibility study that we're having North Highland do. I bring up that net income of $152,000 because as we talk later about having this board retreat and strategic planning, I think I've sandbagged that 152 from what we've got right now a little bit. I do believe that my income is understated by probably about $50,000. I like to be on the conservative side when you budget income. But the income I budgeted at 564 when last year we had 627, and the actual budget was 520. So I'm up from previous year's budget, but certainly less than what we had as actual. I don't see any drop-off in our income, but nonetheless, what I would like the board members to be thinking about, as we've talked about zero-based budgeting for the year, if we're looking at $150,000 to $200,000 that is not allocated, and I have jumped up the professional fees a significant amount, what should we be talking about? And so are we looking at giving some agencies some help maybe on particular projects? Are we looking at buying additional hardware? Those are questions that I think that are germane to this board's role and function as we go forward looking at the new business plan, and that's one thing we'd be taking a look at. And as our council has repeatedly told us, you know, that review of the business plan is really the place for this board to interject their vision and where they'd like to be headed. So we've got some dollars that we're going to be talking about as we go forward into that meeting later this fall. Questions on the financial?
Jack Aerosmith.
Greg, thank you, Mr. Chair. What is your intention with this budget? Are you asking us to adopt the budget at our next meeting, or will that be?
We do by bylaws need to adopt it. But since we were on a calendar year before, now we're on a fiscal year, yes, I would like it to be adopted. And if there's any significant change from that on spending, what I would ask is adopt the budget and give me the spending authority within that budget. If there's a substantial change from that is adopted, I would come back and ask for approval of additional or change in spending.
I guess if that's the case, my request would be if we could get it about a week before the meeting.
Absolutely. I'm actually done with it, and I'll send it out via email to every board member so that they can look at it prior to next week's meeting or next month's meeting.
Greg Jenick.
Greg, for the benefit of me, the new board members that have through the early years like the rest of us have, a suggestion might be that could you recreate financial flows, you know, through the life of SIPA, including some federal funds that, you know, that we had used, give a better roadmap on how we project forward and what we're using prior 2-3 years history.
Absolutely, and I think one of the that is what our auditor Clifton Gunderson and I have been talking about, and those federal dollars is one point of conversation. The other thing that I've asked them to review is our flow of funds, how we take them now, and if our reporting is accurate enough to leave a clear audit trail that they don't have a problem, because transparency is paramount from my point of view on this, so that we can track those dollars. But yeah, I'll kind of do a synopsis because we have all that information.
Does that wrap up the Finance Committee report?
It does.
Great. All right, now for your Executive Director's update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first thing that I would like to talk about is the partner conference. I think you've all seen some information on that scheduled for October 23rd through the 25th in Portland, Oregon. Representative Cadman has attended that in the past. I believe some other members, when it was here in Denver last year, participated in it. It is time for this board to decide who will be able to attend. And you'll be happy to know I put a budget number in there so that we can send some people to this. And Bob Feingold indicated to me this morning that he would like to attend. And so I guess my conversation with Dan Morrison and CI, they believe that anyone on this board is very welcome to attend. So we've got an estimated cost of $1,000 per member for plane fare and housing for that. Okay. And I know that Director Huber has told me that she's up to her eyeballs and would love to, but unable.
I had requested to attend.
Okay.
I believe they actually even asked you to present something, didn't they?
Well, I'd love to do that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Make something
Break up your PowerPoint, Mike.
Yeah. Could you show the board what you're going to take on our behalf?
Absolutely.
I know we've had some yes, no's, and maybes. Maybe this would be a good time to figure out who the yeses are. So just give me an indication. Raise your hand if you want to go and you think you can go. Two. You were a maybe and now it's no way. Okay. I think I can still go.
No way.
No? No? So that's three, and Bob Feingold would be four. Three, four, five. Do we have a budget for five?
We do.
Senator May, Bob Feingold, Michael Kaitis. Kent, did you say? Kent?
Kent.
Yes. Oh, are you going to go? You didn't raise your hand. I figured you were presenting at it. Something. Was I wrong?
No, you're not.
Okay.
Wrong.
This time.
Is that a little too close to elections?
Mr. Unbelievable.
Oh, you have those?
The other thing that we just talked about a little bit in the previous conversation was this retreat. Last month, Mr. Aerosmith had graciously offered up a very nice facility in Castle Rock that we could attend for a day down there. Previously, the discussion had been it would probably be most useful following the partner portal conference, and so we would be looking somewhere in the early November time frame. That's my understanding to date.
I think we ought to just pick a date and send it out and get the feedback of who can and can't make, and if it's extremely negative, we'll pick a different date or pick 2 days.
Let's try for the second week in November. I will send something to Jack via email to see if he can schedule there, and I will pick the date, and we will go ahead and send that out to the members and see if we can make that one work.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Senator May.
Can we have our board meeting at the same time?
Greg Rippey, we had discussed that.
We did discuss having a board meeting for half of it, and then continue or having this meeting in the morning and the board meeting. If we were out of Denver, I'd be a little reticent to do that. Not that we get mass members of the public wishing to attend. But I guess I'd default to Richard a little bit on if there's anything in our bylaws that prevents us from having a board meeting outside of Denver.
I don't think so. I'll have to go back and look at the bylaws. I mean, just again, so long as you have to comply with the open meetings law,
mm-hmm.
with respect to.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd say that you and I should talk about setting an agenda on it, and if you think you want to do that, I wouldn't want to spend a lot of time on board meeting, but...
It's only an hour and a half for board meeting.
Well, that would take us back to the first week, then, of November.
Well, we could actually even do the second week if we're going to do it, as long as we noticed that there was a change.
Okay, we'll take a look at the dates. Shoot it back out.
Not the 6th.
Not I'm open that day.
Mr. Chairman.
Please, Kent.
Just make note, the Colorado Information Managers Association, CIMA, which is all of the state CIOs and all of the network staff, very IT intensive, their annual retreat is November 14, 15, 16.
Colorado Springs? I think it is Colorado Springs for the fall meeting.
It normally is, yes.
It was at Cheyenne Mountain last year.
Several years.
Yeah, they bounced Steamboat, Breckenridge, Colorado Springs. But I think
it's definitely going to be Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I just want to bring that up because I think the portal is an authority. Should probably have a presence there. And I know that Dan and others from attend. And I think that Mike and myself and a number of the board members attend that regularly. So if we can just slip to the week of the 5th. Or Thursday the 1st for our regular board meeting, that might be helpful.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator May.
Greg, are you presenting at the Tech Conference at the Marriott on, what's that, September the... That went over big last year. Are you going to do it again?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be part of a panel conversation on portals. That's the way it's... stands right now.
Weatherford's scheduled to do some stuff on cybersecurity.
I believe that's September 18th. Is that the date?
That's right.
Yeah. September. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am scheduled to play some role.
Should we,
Senator, continue?
Have our handouts there or whatever from SIPA?
Sure.
We got a lot of action off of it last year.
I'm sorry, I'm looking through the calendar at board meeting date possibilities. Do that later. Are we suggesting, Kent, to try to do that as far away from that meeting or as close to it?
I just didn't know whether you were saying second week. There's only 2 days in the first week of that month. So I don't know if by second week you meant the week of the 5th or the week of the 12th.
Okay.
I meant the week
of the
5th.
For the retreat. Good. If we mean the week of the 5th, we're fine.
But you're not fine.
Mr. Chair, I'd be okay anytime after the 6th.
Sure. We'll even give you 1 day after elections.
Okay, so you're looking at the 8th. All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator May.
Remain the subject here.
Can you pull that mic over so our internet audience of...
Excuse me.
Bob Feingold.
Government Technology Magazine and the Digital Government People do awards every year. And I think our SIPA is probably state-of-the-art nationwide, although we may not be in there for this year's. We should be looking forward to next year. We'll be in better shape than we are now, and we probably, if we are, you know, put in for it, however you do that, we'd be in line for some kind of a national award, probably for what this SIP has done. I don't know how we do that.
Greg Rippey.
We'll put Jill from CI on it.
Right.
She does that pretty regularly anyway.
We have an action item and a person of action. That's a good idea. And now we are going to have the general manager report, unless there's other conversation on...
I have none.
Come on up and introduce yourself. Senator May. Come on up anywhere.
I think my remarks are probably for something that Greg might want to work on.
Okay.
I had a meeting with the folks over in the legislature in regards to their web page, and they've been instructed to redo the web page. I said, you know, you need to get in with the SIPA on this thing and use our ways that we're getting that done and the tools that we have. So I talked to Kurt Malenik on it. Has he contacted you yet?
I have talked to Kurt. I have sent him an EGE. They were supposed to have their joint committee meeting talking about it. This is a perfect example of what we ought to be able to do to help them. We have had the contact. They do have the EGE. I've been trying to I have not been able to have Kirk call me back following that meeting that they had to see the discussion that was had.
Do I need to touch some bases over there for you?
I would appreciate it.
Like Senate President or?
I don't know who makes up the Joint Information Committee, but I think there's...
The Joint Information Committee hadn't been very active the last couple of years. I'm supposed to be on that. I don't think we've had a meeting, but... Bill, you want to work your side of it?
Okay.
In the House, I'll work the Senate side, but they have a lousy... They have good information, excellent information, and those of us who know how to get to it can make it work, but getting to it and the way the page is laid out and so forth, it's lousy. And I think they just need a little help bringing that along, maybe.
You know, Senator, after you had... Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, may I?
Please, Greg Rippey.
After you had called me the other day and I followed back up with Kirk and I've had conversation with CI, I think it's critical if we're going to move forward on this and be able to ensure that we have a functional website up by start of session, which would be all of our goals, we need to start pretty quickly on requirements gathering and seeing what they've got. You know, because they do have a lot of information out there, and there's a whole lot of it that is really comes out of third-party providers that may cause some issues that we don't know, like LexisNexis, things that are out there that are the statutory. And so it's a pretty complicated website. The second part that I think is a huge opportunity for the authority as well as Ledge Council and that website is be able to do a better job of tracking bills. Right now it's very manual that you have to do it. You have to know what the bill is. You have to be able to go in there. There are some very good, easily replicated projects out there in NIC states right now where somebody can sign up and be notified of action on a bill. Is it assigned to committee? Was it in a vote on seconds? And those sort of things could pop out emails to lobbyists, concerned citizens, whoever. And I think it would be a great citizen project. So I'm really excited about this, and if you can give me some help moving the legislature along, it would be welcome.
Continue, Senator May.
Okay, second thing, I don't know if you guys are aware of it or not, but there has been a decision made to go with live TV in the sessions. I think the Senate's dragging its feet a bit, but I guess on your side of the aisle, Bill, Romanoff's decided and the executive committee decided, so they've got Kurt Malenik with a whole team already working. Expensive process. I don't know what you do with all that equipment when you're not in session, but I think they've canned theirs up in the state of Washington now. I don't think they're running it anymore, but you can add 30 minutes to an hour to every session, I'm sure, when you get live TV in.
to every speaker. And I don't just mean the one. With that, let's introduce...
Mr. Chairman, would you give me the pleasure, please, of introducing Mr. Boyd to you?
Yes.
Aaron has been heading up the content management, and he's been doing the training of the content management. And from those that I've talked to that have gone through his classes, he's been a wonderful person to learn content management from. And I'm excited what Aaron brings to fill in John Thomas's very big shoes. And so please welcome today Aaron Boyd.
Thank welcome, you. Aaron. Thank congratulations. You. Condolences on the promotion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we are to look at the executive summary, I know that Greg's already touched on the one-stop project. What I would like to say about those that we have enjoyed having Jill in the office and interacting with us, and also know that she, in combination with Dan and Greg, have gone to a number of meetings and are going to continue to do so. What I would like to highlight, though, also is that we have been building our staff resources. As of the writing of this document, we had added 6 new members of the team. Since the publishing of this document a few days ago, we've had one more member of the team accept an offer, so our contingent is now to 20, and that is a full contingent of staff. So if you could refer to the org chart on page 4. It will give you an idea of sort of what the positions are in the company and who the folks are in the portal that are going to be doing what. You'll notice that there are a couple of more project managers than you may have seen in the past, and our two newest project managers have attended this meeting, Tammy and Scott, so we are excited about getting them started in some projects.
And sad to lose Angie. She's going back to Glenwood.
We are sad to lose Angie, very much so. The financial position of the portal continues to be stable, and those details can be found in the financial report that I handed out, and I'll touch on that a little bit later. As far as online vehicle registration, with nine counties participating, I have handed out a graph that we've just gotten the stats on yesterday that show a month-over-month increase in the volume. And I know that we like to see those graphs pretty steep, so I would anticipate they would continue to grow like that. With the content management system, we've trained nine people this month, and there have been two sites that have been launched for charging with information from migration or a new website standpoint over the course of the month. And also in this month, we've successfully launched two sites into production, one from the Colorado Combined Campaign and one for the Department of Agriculture. We've worked very closely with the Department of Agriculture over the past almost year and have been lucky enough to be able to institute a single point of contact, which has really worked wonderfully for us in the same way that it has with the Department of Revenue. So it's been a great boon to productivity. As far as the project timeframes are concerned on page 5, the additional staff that we have added and are going to have starting in the near future, it'll mean that we'll be able to move more projects through the pipeline more quickly, and you should expect to see the blue bars on this Gantt chart to not only become shorter but more numerous as time progresses. And in total, we are currently working on 36 projects that are in varying stages of completion. The portal metrics section of this is going to be very short because of the date of the...
Senator May.
Aaron, number 36 down there, e-recording?
Yes, sir.
What's the big problem involved in that? Is it the cost of equipment for the people reporting in? Or it's not in the counties, right?
It is not in the counties, as far as I know. John?
John Thomas, for you're always welcome.
This is in... Jack knows a lot about this as well.
John, why don't you come on up if you're going to, just so folks can hear you.
There's been a lot of discussion and effort that's gone into this project, and I know Jack has been a very big proponent of it. But through our due diligence and the effort that we've been putting into this, we're finding that we may be a little bit ahead of the game right now in terms of prepping, getting the state ready for e-recording services. We are also concerned about competing with other third-party vendors, which we don't want to do through the portal's mission statement and protocol. We have some people that we're working with that are still showing interest. We have not; the project is not dead, but we need to do a little bit more discussion, discovery, and honestly, more of a practicality review and determine what the usage is going to be. Because, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the people that we'd be working with is a group called Cuvera, and what they are telling us is that they came to this quote-unquote party a few years back thinking that the industry would just boon and they would have first foot in the door, so to speak. They are very concerned to see us enter this area, and then on top of that, they also communicated to us that boon has not come. They said that while initially they showed promise, things have just really slowed down. And then there's been some other national competition that's coming in from groups like Simplifile that would be in our same industry space. So long story short, we have a lot more evaluation to do on this. I think that Jack could probably back that up.
Jack Earl Smith.
Senator, I think one of the things that we're investigating, there are currently three e-recording portals, state portals, up and running, and we've been looking at those models, trying to determine what we can glean from those models. And every model that we've seen out there thus far has problems. And so figuring out the right pricing structure that makes sense for Colorado, I think, is part of the problem. But having said that, I think we are on the verge of seeing a burgeoning new industry in e-recording. Douglas County last month recorded 30% of our documents electronically. That for us is a huge jump in the ability to record electronic documents, most of which were not Covera documents. So take that with a grain of salt one way or the other. But it's in progress. I think we're making some progress. We're currently working with Larimer County. Jefferson County now has asked to be part of this fact-finding program. Denver County, we have an open door for Denver. They were with us earlier and then kind of backed off a little bit, but we hope to have them return. So we need to really get all of the counties on board with the idea that this is a model that we can live with.
Greg Rippey and Senator May.
Jack, can I ask you, I know that you went back to D.C. as well, someone from CI, about Prius standards. And I see that as one of the keys, is having standards, so that regardless of who the provider of e-recording is, and for everyone's information, I believe we have 54 counties that are doing some form of e-recording at this time. And really, when you look at the role and mission of the portal, it's not to go out there and allow e-recording, it's to integrate a back end that's already being done there. We've got a significantly vast majority of the counties doing e-recording, but it's important that we get those PREA standards industry accepted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree 100%, and in fact, my recording manager is just freshly back from the summer PREA conference, and the big conversation, basically, we, without going into too much detail, in the recording industry, we have three models of documents, a model 1, 2, and 3 level document. And the discussion was around this model 3 or level 3, which is a completely electronic document. They're just establishing rules for that. The signature situation was kind of a problem. And I think PREA is now starting to put forth rules and parameters for electronic signatures, and I think that's going to be terrific in moving this process forward.
Senator May?
I thought we'd worked that problem and passed a bill on it about 5 years ago on electronic signatures, Jack. Do we need to redo that again, or is it not adequate the way it is now?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In Colorado, an electronic signature cannot be any less than a wet signature. That's correct. The question is, with a purely digital signature and converting the document to either a TIFF document or a PDF, sometimes you lose the information on that pure digital signature. And PREA is trying to come to grips with where that responsibility is at, and that's kind of a stumbling block, and I think it needs to be solved nationally. Part of the problem is, particularly with recording offices in Colorado, we do business, most of our business is done out of state. So unless we have national standards, just because Colorado is ahead of the game, and we really are, Senator, that doesn't mean that these national submitters are going to jump on board. It really needs to be a national standard.
A couple other points here. You said three states. Was one of those Utah?
No. Missouri?
I thought Utah had also done some major work on electronic signatures.
They have, but they don't have an e-recording portal, statewide portal. Those three states are New Jersey, Iowa, and Missouri.
In regards to this electronic filing also, was my understanding that a lot of our problems were with the county trustees that weren't working with the county clerks in doing in-house electronic recording. Now, you solved that in Douglas County because you've been in both positions.
Yes, sir.
But I think my county's still working on it in El Paso because the previous trustee we had didn't use it at all. So what do we do? Do you need some legislation to go into effect for these trustees to use the system and make it more effective? I can remember not very long ago, of course I sat on the IMC for years, Kent, you remember this, Denver was like 9 months behind in doing recordings. That's a disaster in the business arena. In fact, didn't we have to man them? We had to help them, I think, over there to get out of their problem.
We did, and I carried a bill that said it had to be recorded in 7 days, much to the chagrin.
That's right, I remember that.
We remember that, yes.
But we should at least be able to get those trustees, you know, to do that stuff immediately instead of dragging their heels. How'd you get it done in your county? Just forced it through?
Mr. Chair, well, I think I had a good relationship with Carol Murray, our current, our then acting clerk and recorder. I'd love to talk to you offline perhaps about that, and I have some ideas about how we might move that forward.
Now, you said the major part of ours comes from out of state. I thought looks like it's going to get worse if we have a lot more foreclosures or whatever. The trustees are going to get more active
in regards to
that. So. I mean, I see an opportunity there to make some things happen by pushing in the right places. And also, could somebody look at that legislation we ran on electronic signatures and see if we need to bring it up to some new standards?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, this was in Secretary of State's is really where a lot of that activity was that we were addressing. And, you know, it was on part of the question was it was really the electronic version of UCC and what were it was a lot of legislation in there that talked about not just electronic signatures but much more, and if we didn't adopt that we were going to default to the national e-sign if I recall correctly. And does that ring a bell, Bill? And do you recall?
I think we probably need to defer this until Mr. Hobbs has an opportunity. I know someone named Aaron Harbs. Till Aaron has an opportunity to finish his report, and then let's get back to new business and other issues. I feel like we kind of shortchanged him on his first presentation here.
Well, my point was 36 here, moving it along.
Okay. It's alive. Did you say it's alive?
Life support.
Aaron, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might say about the Gantt chart, the objects that are the items that are in discussion, we have not put a blue bar to that just because there's not an active project manager working on it. That does not speak to the fact that there are still discussions and going on as it relates to them. If on page 6, the portal metrics, this will probably the simplest part of this report because of the date of the SIPA meeting and the timing in which this document needed to be published. The metrics for July were not able to be compiled in time as the last date of the month was just a few days ago. And the July metrics will be included in the next SIPA meeting held in September. I do, however, have some statistics as it relates to online vehicle registration renewal, as you've seen on that. Document, the other document that was handed out, but just for your edification, this month's volume for all the counties
Great.
Of renewals, and this is on page 6, is 16,616, and the total amount that has gone through this has been for the previous month is 2,040,856.81.
Mr. Chair.
Senator May.
On this vehicle renewal in here, I think we need to have some kind of more releases on it to let people know it's out there. And Jack just gave me some hints on how to use it and how to do it, and I don't think the general public knows that. And that would sure help you, Roxy, to decrease those lines if more people would use that, right?
Thank you.
It is showing good progress.
Aaron? To continue the others.
Roxy has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Roxy. Excuse me.
I would just add for Senator May, as we bring those online,
all the renewals that go out have an advertisement on it. So they, the folks that are up for renewal are immediately notified they have that option. So that that level of awareness exists in the promotional side of this at this point. Always open to hear about other ways we might do it, but the actual cards that go out from the counties have the website on it with the mail
out. It's a little complicated, though, according to what Jack's telling me.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. No, I don't think it's complicated. I think it's a great process. And, in fact, when you go online and look at the application itself, it explains that to you, the difference between an electronic check and using a credit card. We see people continuing to pay higher fees to use the credit cards. It baffles me at times. I think people want those frequent flyer miles. That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Well, I'm about to do it tomorrow. I got my card in the mail yesterday.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The remainder of the portal metrics are the same as they were in the last meeting. So to refer to more complete July metrics, it would require review in next month's meeting. And you, if you'd like to refer to the appendices for some of the marketing activity.
Mr. Chair, question, Aaron, on Live Help, do you want more hits or less hits?
Well, I would always want more hits because that means that there are more applications out there and more people seeing the site. So we would want that metric to be going up. Because with every application that goes out, there's a greater universe of people out there who are accessing the sites, which means that there's always going to be a percentage of people that have questions or needs, or it just means we've got more exposure, I would imagine.
Well, I pass out about 1,000 cards a year, and I've made a habit now of writing on the back of my cards www.colorado.gov and under that Live Help and tell people how to use it. So I think I'm a big part of your marketing over here, but... But some way we need to, I don't know, it works pretty good, I think, on the back of the card. A lot of people are using it, but I'd like to see that double. We ought to have some goals to do that or something, if that helps you.
Jack Arrowsmith and John.
Thank you, sir. Senator May, we have a card on order for you, actually, that has that printed on there.
Okay.
Right. And that is all. Jack Arrowsmith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Aaron, I noticed in the month of March last year we were a little bit higher than we are today. Did you guys kind of figure out what the difference was between March of last year and hits? I'm on page 8.
Aaron?
I am looking at, for page views?
Yeah. It looks like March of last year we're a little bit higher than March of this year. Do you have any thoughts as to what might have caused that?
No, sir, I don't at this point. I would be more than happy to take this back with me and do some research on it. And
trying to think back to last March, I don't remember anything that spectacular was going on. Or
should we change how we're counting those?
John Thomas.
To get to that, Jack, about 2 months ago, we went back and realized that the way we were actually collecting that data needed some review and some work. So the numbers from last March, we don't actually feel like those were, not last March, March before last, the previous, before CI got there, we don't really know or have any true understanding that those were accurate numbers.
Might be inflated a little bit.
Right. Okay. So we've actually instituted a new method of collecting that. So without saying that the old numbers are bunk, I would say let's follow these new ones and let's watch the trends as we go along.
We don't want to call the old numbers bunk.
No, we don't.
Greg Rippey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at the marketing activity, some of the comments that were on there, I'd like to just point out that the second one that says the physician's license renewal is easy to use, good work. They came through the portal, but that application is Rico's and it's Doors, and so they, we have so many good applications in the state that sometimes we probably take credit for things that we didn't really do, but we are the portal. We give access, and But congratulations, Rico. They're liking the way that your DORA applications are working also.
So where were we, Senator May?
I played around on the SIPA webpage the last couple of days. We got some bad links on there and some links that don't do anything. On the SIPA part, not the Colorado.gov.
Kathy maintains that site, so...
I am the person to talk to about that because it's in the content management system, and I'm currently the go-to person / scapegoat for that. So I will look at that as soon as
you guys find them. Don't depend on me to find them.
Aaron.
If you don't mind my asking, if you happen to remember the links that were broken, I would, and we can talk about this after this.
There were about six.
Six. Okay. I would be.
I can't remember each one specifically.
Okay. I'll go through the site with a comb.
The quality control on my website.
For a fee.
You know, maybe he should update his 1995 browser.
That's right. It was computer dependent.
Did Atari make that?
Do away with all my batch files?
Okay. 30 and counting. Pretty similar. Aaron, you may continue. Greg Rippey?
A quick look at the portal financial snapshot. If you'll notice the income statement, you'll see that the revenues and expenses for the portal are remaining stable. Net income is also stable and at a good level. And if you'll notice in the gross revenue by service section of the document, we continue to derive revenue from sources other than driving records. And so one of our goals is to try to work towards a trend in diversifying our portfolio of services. So with that, Mr. Chairman, this concludes the General Manager's Report.
Are there any further discussions or questions of Aaron?
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
You survived. Almost. Wait, Senator May.
Aaron John Picanso sat on this board for a long time, and he's now back as CIO over in Ag. He's doing a lot of good stuff over there. Is there anything that he's doing that we might stick through our portal?
We're actually...
GIS, boy, he's got some red-hot stuff going on, tracking crops and animals and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how... somebody's accessing it some way.
Aaron?
We're actually working with them on three separate projects right now. One has already launched a measurement standards licensing application, which was one of my projects as a project manager. There are two that are currently in very close and in testing very close to production. One is a pesticide applicator's license, and the other is a cash register type application for the window for people who walk in to purchase items through the...
Rico thought he did all the licensing. You got 77, haven't you, or 72?
Got a lot. Oh. Any? Oh, can't.
Well, a question statement. As the new guy on the board, I've been around and talked with a lot of you, and I've talked with Dan, and it's a little difficult for me to get my arms around some of the time frames. You know, we have tasks. We have some of these that are in the queue. What I asked Dan to do for me at our retreat in November was give me a view of how many things are in that queue and how quickly they're getting out of the queue. And one of the things that I've heard very often is a department might ask us to look at a potential application. As was brought up just a little while ago, these guys spend a lot of time looking at it and then say, no, this is the wrong time and place. But we've burnt a lot of human hours and cycles on that. And I guess I just, after our retreat, would like to kind of get a better feel for where are we tasking our priorities, and are we spending these on things that are cookie-cuttered or research, or how is this breaking down? So that we make sure that we're moving things out of the queue. And the general manager's report is really good, but it's hard for me to blend these pages and know where we're going.
It's a snapshot, and you're looking for a movie. I mean,
Yeah, to an extent. So I just wanted you all to know that that's in my thoughts, that I hope we can get a presentation at our retreat in that regard, so I get a better feel. I also brought that up in regard to if we pursue the business portal, what is in the queue that isn't going to get done, and how do we know that? What do we know the pace to be or not to be, so we make a very learned decision about that?
Greg Rippey?
If I can just talk about process for a second here, and I'm sorry this hadn't been communicated clearly enough to you, Kent. There is a very clear process that we go through that moves things through a queue. When we get a request for a work order or a task order, we score it, and we have a scoring matrix that we use on it. We have myself, CI, Dan Winger from SysTest, two people from CI that we go through, and we have weighting that goes through this. We'd be happy to show you how that comes. But one of the things that we find as we go through that, and every one of our requests has a score with it. But we do end up with somewhat of a self-sorting queue based upon agency readiness and what's happening there. The second thing to remember is that as I sign a task order or a work order, there is always a clearly defined deliverable, what the date will be. It's agreed to by both the agency or the local government as well as CI and SIPA. So when there's two very distinct phases. One, we get the request for a work order, we score it, and things that, and I'd be happy to share that and even give a presentation. We have at one point gone through that matrix before. There's part of it that's self-assessment by the requesting governmental entity that does it. What's their readiness? What are their resources available? How do they prioritize among other task orders that they may have requests for? So I think, Kent, maybe we should revisit that again clearly at the retreat and go through it. And I would also say that if you want to be in on a scoring one, we'd be happy to welcome you to it.
No, I'm thrilled to have staff do that as long as the SIPA board is setting the general direction. I hope you keep running with it.
Yeah, we can revisit what our matrix says, but I think things are moving through very quickly, as expeditiously as resources allow on the CI side, which hasn't been a constraint from my viewpoint. And I'm very happy and think that things are really going to start picking up with additional personnel being added.
Greg Chenick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Greg, if my memory serves as well, one of the scoring areas on your metrics also looks at, is this a one-time application? Is it reusable? Or is it enterprise level as well, right? So that was a real key component on helping you score and prioritize this.
And every one of those, even though you may have a 5 on it, and that's it's on a 1 to 5, it may only have a relative weight less than something else. And we can revisit those, but I really don't think that matrix score has driven the development and where a project is within a queue.
John Thomas.
I would echo that very much so. A lot of times the scores, while they are a good barometer for the existing day and time, month to month the scores change. If we had to go through and score every one of the project requests, we would be doing that for probably 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and you'd have to do it every month. So what it does is it gives you an idea of where it stands right now, and then it almost becomes, as Greg said, self-sorting. The project, we put it in place, then we go to the department, and I think Becky can vouch for me here. We'll say, are you ready to work on this? And a lot of times they will come back and say, well, we don't have the people that we thought we would have last week. Now we have to move it back. I would say Becky moves her project list around once a month. I've seen at least 5 different iterations of their project list, and that's not just with DOR, it's with all of them. One more thing. Touch on and just reiterate is, you, as Aaron brought up in his report, we are hiring all these project managers and staff to mitigate these concerns about things slowing down. We are specifically doing that because of projects like the Business One Stop and e-recording and these things that are going to require large amounts of personnel and time allotments, ramping up our staff so that we are better prepared for those when they do.
And I'd add on that, if you go back to that org chart that we looked at, one of the new hires is a security person with NCI. That's in consistent with our absolute commitment to security of information.
Thanks. Aaron? Senator May?
John?
Yes, sir.
You've changed the format that you've got in these from what it used to be. Normally, I bring my old stuff in my old book, but you used to have the things at the top of the things that were being worked on.
That's in the back in the appendices.
Well, I'm looking at that, but it sure looks different than it used to. And then below that were the ones you were gathering data on. And then there was a list of some 93, 97 more of people who were asking you to do work on or whatever.
Would you like us to revisit that? I think we made some changes so that we could actually make the report a little bit more, to be honest, a little bit smaller and easier for you to flip through. We reformatted that table and moved it to the appendices for so that you can reference it. But if you'd like us to make
I don't mind it being in the appendices, but I'd...
You'd like us to get back to add some other features to it.
Anybody else have that comment or looked at it? Of course, the new people have never seen it before.
Greg Rippey.
One of the changes that was made to this by Dan was if you look at the status of... And he had brought this up in previous meetings, that he changed the status reporting from testing to development to requirements gathering to discussion. And if you look at the far right-hand side, that's the new status reporting, and that has just been in, I think, for a couple months, trying to be more industry-specific. And then the coding is green's on track, yellow's on hold, and white is awaiting resources. And so it is a different format of reporting. It was one that Dan believed was probably more user-friendly. But we can always have discussion on how you'd like to see it.
Aaron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concluded the report.
Have I already thanked you for that?
I think you have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, in other business and discussion, I'd like to make a note that the business committee is going to start being very active, and we have Mike is on that. We will be sending out some meeting requests for the business committee. Kent has agreed to be on it. Bob Feingold is on it. Ron Osga from Human Services is on it. If there's anyone else, please let us know if you'd like someone from your department to be represented on that, because one of the key stakeholders in this feasibility assessment is the business committee, to be able to come back and report to this board when we start in the facilitation and the decision-making process of a go, no-go. And so, Bill, if there's someone, and I know that we've talked about point of contacts in the meetings that they had. I welcome anybody that would like to appoint somebody to participate in a more in-depth level on that business committee. We would welcome it, and we will be sending out some notices very soon to be able to have some ongoing regular business committee meetings.
Any other business comments, discussion? Without any, we're adjourned.
Question?
Oh, we're unadjourned.
We started on November 1 of 05, is that right? That's when we came up?
October 10th.
Coming up on 2 years? When?
October 10th, 2005.
Okay. Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Have a birthday party? Is that what you think?